Give me your undivided attention for 3 minutes as I explain the story. I'm going to speak this morning on this subject. The road to heaven is paved with love. The road to heaven is paved with love. Solomon and his lover had been separated. The arrangements were made by Solomon whereby they may get back together. Very interesting, I think. 'Twas the king that made the arrangement, not the bride, not the lady. She only came the way provided by the king. Representing Christ and you, severed by sin in the Garden of Eden, 'tis the king that makes the way back. Tis not the bride. Ah, the bride says, I'll work my way back, but you'll never get back to the lover. The bride says, I'll join the church and get back, but you'll never get back to the lover. 'Tis the king that makes the way back. So Solomon says, I will make a way where my lover and I can be reconciled, a picture of God making a way where his estranged lover could be reconciled. And so he makes the way back, and here is a little statement that he mentions concerning that way. And I'm going to speak this morning and tonight on the same tight theme, the way, the highway. And he says these words, paved with love. Paved with love. Did you know this morning begins my 13th year as pastor of this church? 12 years I completed last Sunday as pastor of what I believe is the greatest church in all the world. I've said this across the country and around the world. I believe that the greatest collection of dedicated Christian people that I've ever seen are found in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I think there are more people not ashamed of Christ in this building this morning than in any building in the world today. And it's one of the great honors of my life to pastor this church. 12 years ago, 2 weeks ago this morning, brokenhearted, I thought I would die. For I had completed my pastorate at the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. I loved the church. Loved it very much. I had grown up there. I became pastor of the church when I was 25. The church had grown from 44 people to over 4,000 people in 6 years and 8 months. When I came to Hammond, I was so crushed, literally so crushed, that I said to God, I will never love a church again. I don't want to love a church again. For I could not bear to leave my people. For 16 months, I'd wake up in the night weeping, longing to be with people. I'd hear of someone who was sick back in Texas in the church there. And I would dream that I was trying to get to them, for I loved them. And I said, I'll never love a church again. I'll never fall in love. I'll never give myself to a church again. 16 months after I came, I realized our church wasn't doing much. We couldn't get going, couldn't get unstuck. We couldn't move. And our attendance was what it had been before. And so I took a trip. I've told you about this. I went back to Texas early one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I borrowed a key to that church building, and I walked into the church. Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. And I got on my knees at the place where I had preached. And I buried the church. And I said, I'm not going to shortchange my people in Hammond anymore. And I gave myself to you. Now, I've made a lot of mistakes in these 12 years. A lot of them. And you've been gracious and kind to overlook them all. But there's one thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I can look to my people this morning and say with all truthfulness. You have been loved. You have been loved. They can say what they want to about the First Baptist Church. They can call us bigots. And what the bigots seem to be these days, I think I am. They can call us fanatical, radical, and they can say harsh words. But I can say this from the crown of my head to the bottom of my feet. This ministry for 12 years has been paved with love. These altars, these aisles are paved with love. These streets in Hammond are paved with love. Somebody said the other day to me, the night I had said to some kids, "Sit still, don't you move while I'm preaching." And I'd hollered it and said it real loud. A visitor came to me and said, "Well, why don't those kids just quit you and go off and leave? Why do they stay?" And I said, "I'll tell you why. Because they know I love them. They know I love them." You know, to me this is a beautiful sentence. The way back is paved with love. It reminds me of the sentence that Hezekiah gives us. I'll not turn to it, but Hezekiah was sick unto death. He turned his face toward the wall and began to pray and sought not the physicians but the Lord, and God gave him 15 more years to live. And Hezekiah said these words, and these are some of the most beautiful words in all the Bible, "Thou hast loved my soul out of the pit of corruption." Isn't that beautiful? Thou hast loved my soul out of the pit of corruption. And so it is, Solomon said, the road back, lover, is paved with love. And Hezekiah said, "Thou hast loved my soul out of the pit of corruption." Did you know God uses many motives to get us to be saved? Oh yes, God uses the fear motive. He tells us there's a hell, and he warns us to thunder out the message of hell and the judgment of God. It's a part of the motives to get people saved. And this morning, if that's the only way you can get saved, I hope you will. I hope you will realize that there is a hell that is filled with fire and torment. That someday you'll have to face a holy and righteous and just God and give an account for your sins. If that's the only thing that'll get you saved, then I pray God will help you. God uses that motive. And then God uses the motive of heaven. God wants us to realize that someday there's going to be a place for us in heaven if we're saved. You know, funny thing, I preached on heaven the other night here, and I went up to the baptismal dressing room. We got a bunch of smart alecks that work up there. and the fellows in the baptismal dressing room were kidding me. And, oh, Mr. Williams, who's the biggest smart aleck of all, beside Larry Stromberg and a few others. But he said, "What's this place you preached about tonight?" And I said, "Heaven." He said, "What kind of place is it?" I said, "You know. What are you asking about?" He said, "Well, you never have told us about that place before. It's all been hell." But the Lord does use heaven, and about once every 10 years I like to preach on heaven. But there is a motive, that the fact that there is a city being prepared for us. And if you get saved for that, that's good. The Lord uses many motives, but I think the most wonderful motive of all, the motive that God wants to use, the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. 'Tis the love of God. And God says that the way back to heaven is paved with love. This morning, if you're not saved, did you know that God wants you to, because of His love, because He loves you, because He... I was reading in the Bible last night, told my class this morning, last night, and I was overcome for a few minutes. As I read the scripture, Dr. Billings, that it said, Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you." And I got thinking about that. Jesus loves me as much as the Father in heaven loved Him. I love to tell the story. I love to tell it occasionally. Many of you folks have not heard it. One Wednesday night, I was leaving the church here to go to the airport after the service, and I was catching a plane for Atlanta, Georgia. I stayed 3 or 4 hours in a hotel in Atlanta and caught a plane then in Cincinnati on to Atlanta and stayed a few hours in Atlanta and then caught a plane in the wee hours for Greenville, South Carolina, where I preached for 3 days at the Bob Jones University. And I left here at 9 o'clock, had to catch the plane at 10. I never forget it because I had some grapes with me. I hadn't eaten any supper and I had a big bag of grapes. And so I took off out of the airport parking lot of the car and ran down the hallway, and people by the thousands, of course, at O'Hare Field. And I didn't dawn on me that grapes got wet and that they'd eat through the sack. And wasn't long till the sack broke and grapes were going all over the corridors of O'Hare Field, and folks were tiptoeing around and juices squashing and everything. And there I was, leaving a trail of grapes and grape juice. I'm a health food fan wherever I am. I just drip grape juice as I walk down the street. Anyway, I rushed to the airplane, and they just got to close the gate. "Hold it," I said. And I got on the plane, only one seat left. And that was beside, it was on a Delta Convair 880 plane. and beside one lady. She looked like she was about, 25 or 30. And I got on the plane. I looked over and I said, howdy. How are you tonight? And so forth. And I went off to sleep. And the next thing I knew, the plane was landing in Cincinnati, Ohio. I felt the wheels as they hit the runway. And so I woke up, and the little lady next to me looked at me, and she said, how could you do what you did while you were asleep? I thought, good night. What in the world did I have to do while I was asleep? And I said, what do you mean? She said, how could you do what you did? And I said, would you tell me quickly, what did I do? And she said, we've been in a storm. The stewardesses have been scared to death. All of us. She said, we've had our heads in our pillows. And the one stewardess locked herself in the restroom because she's afraid. And she said, during the entire storm, everybody on the plane, scared to death, afraid the plane was going to crash, lightning and thunder and the plane up and down, and you've been over there going, all that time. She said, how could you do it? Well, I said, lady, I guess the two reasons. One reason is I fly over 100,000 miles a year on these big birds. And I said, the second reason is my father owns this plane. She had a beautiful diamond ring that make mine look like a dime store one. She had on her sweater here a gorgeous diamond pin. It must have been worth thousands of dollars. But her hair was rolled up, and I couldn't understand why she said dressed up with her hair rolled up. She said, how could you sleep? And I said, my father owns the plane. She said, is that a fact? She said, these planes cost millions of dollars. Your father must be very wealthy. I said, oh, yes, he's very wealthy. I said, in fact, my father owns the Delta Airlines. Oh, well, she said, and suddenly her pen became brass. And her ring became just plain glass. And she said, you're the heir of the Delta Airlines. I said, that's right. I'm the heir of the And I said, American Airlines, too. She said, American Airlines, too. You mean your dad owns American and Delta? I said, yes, ma'am, and Braniff. She said, Delta, American, Braniff. I said, and Eastern, too. She said, wow, your dad must be rich. And I said, yes, ma'am, he is rich. And I said, besides that, he owns Piedmont and Western. And he owns Ozark, and he owns United Airlines. And she said, who is your dad? And I said, they call him the Heavenly Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I said that, she began to scream. I mean, she screamed. She said, I know what you are! And everybody in the plane could hear her. And I prayed she'd tell them what I am. And she said, I know what you are! And she said, you're a minister! That's what you are! And then she said, she screamed and she said, how did you know? She said, the thing I'd be studying by minister. She said, just a few minutes ago, before I got on this plane, they rushed me here to put me on the plane to go to Atlanta. She said, I tried to commit suicide. She showed me a place where she tried to slit her wrist. And she said, I tried to kill myself. My husband left me. He thinks he's too good for me, and he left me. And I don't want to live. I want to die. He's the manager of manager president of the manufacturing and mining M&M company in Racine, Wisconsin. She said, and she said, Mister, I want to die. I don't want to live. And then she looked at me and she began to tremble and she said it so loudly that everybody on the plane could hear. She said, can I ask you a question? And her eyes got big as dollars, silver dollars. And she held her hands like this and she said, could I ask you a question, Mary Reverend? And I said, yes. And then she said it so all could hear. She said, Reverend, she said, does your God love me too? Does your God love me too? And I looked at her and I began to weep. And I said, oh, yes, he loves you. I said, God loves you in that he gave his son for you. And I love you too. She said, how could you love me? You just met me. But I said, I love you because God loves you. And 28,000 feet in the air between Cincinnati, Ohio and Atlanta, Georgia, I told her the wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love wakes the immortal strain. Sinners are angels with rapture announce it. Sinners with wonder receive it. Wonderful story of love. Sinner, won't you believe it? wonderful story of love. And 28,000 feet in the air, she received the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know the way to heaven is paved with love? This morning, if you're not saved, God has made a way. What is that way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But it is paved with love. But that isn't all. Did you know it's not enough for God to pave the way to heaven with love? We, as God's people, ought to pave the way with love. I was thinking last night about you, Brother Fisk. This man over here on my right, one of the finest soul winners in America, came to our church, a lost sinner, one day. My preaching, he didn't like it. Dumb guy. But he didn't like it, my preaching. And he said it was too long and too loud. And he still feels that way about it. He's not right with God yet completely. But you know what got him back? You know what got him back? He said many times, he said, preacher, the thing that got me back was that you put your hand in mine before I left and said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Did you know many people never hear those words? Many people live day after day, night after night, week after week. Nobody ever says to them the simple words, I love you. The way to heaven is paved with love. Wasn't it Elizabeth Barrett Browning? I love Elizabeth Barrett. I love Robert Browning. But wasn't it Elizabeth Barrett Browning who was an invalid? She couldn't as much as lift up her head in bed. She was paralyzed completely, she thought. And Robert Browning came to see her. On the first visit, she fell in love with him. And on his first visit, she lifted her head up for the first time in months. On his second visit, she sat up in bed. On his third visit, they eloped. You know why? Because it was paved with love. It was paved with love. I was down in Kinston, North Carolina the other day. And I preached, man, I preached hard. I don't ever preach this hard. I just ranted and raved and spit and stomped and smoked. In North Carolina, everybody smokes. And I smoked and snorted, you know that. And preached and hollered and screamed, stomped my feet and hit the pulpit and told the young folks to drop dead or be still or both. And boy, I thought, and we had a great service and many were saved. But finally I said what I've said here. I said, now, heads are bowed. How many of you have someone standing beside you tonight who's not saved? You're praying for him. And one lady raised her hand. And several did, but one lady over on the right raised her hand. And her husband beside her, a great big tall fellow. And he looked at her and grabbed her arm, pulled it down. And I said, now, heads are bowed. While we sing the next stanza, reach up and tell the person beside you these words. You've heard me say it. I love you. And I'm praying for you. And I want you to go to heaven with me. And I'll go with you if you'll go down the aisle and receive Christ. And the next invitation stanza, that big old tall strapping fella came out down the aisle, received Christ. The pastor said, we've been praying for him for years and years. And he got saved. A wonderful conversion. And after the service, I went to him and shook his hand. And I said, man, what was it I said that really got to you? And he said, Reverend, he said, it wasn't anything you said. I preached on hell and heaven and love and wrath and God and the devil and everybody else and hollered and spit and stomped and stewed and screamed and beat the pulpit, but that didn't do it. I said, well, what was it? I thought you were mad. He said, I was. I said, why did you get saved? He looked at me and he began to cry and he said, it was when she said, I love you. It was when she said, I love you. Hezekiah said, 'twas his love that pulled me from the pit. And Solomon said, the way back is paved with love. I was visiting one day in Hammond. I've been praying for a man for about 5 years. I was over here on North Side visiting, out soul winning. And I got burdened about a fellow over here on the South Side. And suddenly, God told me to go visit him. He was a hard man, big, tall fellow, and straight-laced kind of fellow. We tried to win him and tried to win him. He'd been to our church and been to our church, and we tried and couldn't win him. But I got burdened about him. I turned the car around the north side, drove across, waited on trains at about 18 crossings, and went over to the south side of town, knocked on his door. Afternoon. Nobody's home in the afternoon. 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Knocked on his door. I didn't expect him to be there, but I was burdened about him. And he came to the door, and I said, well, I'm glad to see you, and called him by name. And I said, I got burdened about you a minute ago. And I felt like maybe you'd get saved. He said, come on in. Very nice man, as long as I wouldn't talk about the gospel. He served me some refreshments. And I forget what it was, bottled beer or something. I'm not sure what it was. But he served me some refreshments. And after we'd had some refreshments, I said, now I want to see you saved. He said, I'm not interested. No, he said, I like you, but not interested in me. Oh, but listen, I said, I'm burdened about you. I want to, no, I'm not interested. I said, I'm burdened about you. Now, I got burdened over on the north side of town. Made a special trip over here. And he stood up, and I stood up to leave. And I said, man, I just knew you'd get saved today. And he said, nope, not interested. And I turned to walk out. And I got on the sidewalk, Brother Fisk, and I thought I'd die. I thought, you've been that way some. I thought I'd die. And I turned and walked back up and rang the doorbell. And he said, what do you want? And I opened the screen. And I fell down at his feet. And I hugged his feet and kissed his shoes. And looked up at him from his shoes and said, I've got to see you saved. I've got to see you saved. And love pulled him out of the pit. And he was saved that afternoon. Paul O'Brien, the man you saw stand right down here a while ago, 4 years ago yesterday afternoon, I got burdened about Paul O'Brien. Or yesterday morning, maybe it was. Cindy was burdened about him, too. Cindy was 7 at the time. And she had been praying for Paul O'Brien to be saved for many, many months. And I went to Paul's house. He was out working on a car. I said, Paul, I want to see you saved. Paul wouldn't do it. I said, Paul, I'm burdened about you. He wasn't interested. I said, Paul, come to church tomorrow. I ain't promising. I said, look, Paul, my little girl Cindy's been praying for you. She's praying right now for me while I'm out over here visiting you. You just got to get saved. Paul said, now, preacher, kept working on the car. He was barely nice. I mean, if you stretch the point a bit. And I said, well, come to church tomorrow. I said, Paul, Mike is leaving for college tomorrow after the service to Tennessee Temple College. You've got 24 hours to ever have a Christian home. I said, Paul, in God's name, give Mrs. O'Brien, give Rose and Mike, John and Kay, a Christian dad. And Paul wasn't fazed. I went and got in the car, drove off. 4 years ago this morning, I got out of the car and walked out here, where I parked. And John or Mike, one met me, or Kay, one of the children, as I got out of the car and said, preacher, Daddy's coming to church this morning. Daddy's coming to church this morning. And I was shocked to death. All, before the service, all of them had said, Daddy's at church. Rose had said, preacher, Paul's here this morning. Paul's here. And he sat right back there in the back. Invitation time came. And we stood to sing the invitation. And we sang, and Rose put her arm upon Paul's shoulder and begged him to get saved. He shook his head no. And one of the boys came, from, I think it was Mike, came across the back and put his arm on his dad's shoulder, as I recall. He said no. Nobody had any effect on him at all. All of us were praying. And suddenly I had the folks bow their heads, and I stepped back, and he was right back here, and I put my arm on his shoulder, and I began to cry. And I said, Paul, I'd rather see you saved this morning than anybody in all the world. And Paul looked at me and he said, preacher, you really care, don't you? And I said, you better know I do. And I put my head on his shoulders and my tears moistened his neck. And he said, let's go. Never forget it. He came down the aisle and the choir couldn't sing. Lindsay Terry was here trying to lead the choir and he was blubbering all over the pulpit. And I wanted an invitation. We had some more sinners out there. You know, there's more than one fish in the pond. And sometime when you catch one, that means a whole school of them right there around them. And I thought maybe Rose would get saved next. But anyway, I said, Lindsay, sing. And Lindsay didn't sing. I said, sing, Lindsay. And Lindsay finally turned around and said, preacher, I can't sing. But you know what did it? Love. Love. The road to heaven is paved with love. You know, there are a lot of people this morning that if you'd fall at their feet and kiss their shoes, they might be saved. One lady came to my office one time to talk to me about her husband. And I prayed for him. And he came in my office and I had an appointment. And he came. And I told him how to be saved. He wouldn't get saved. And so I begged him and he wouldn't. And I begged him and he wouldn't. And finally, his wife just threw herself on the desk and began to cry and beat the desk. And he looked at me and he said, Reverend, I can do it when she cries. And he did. And he was saved. The road to heaven is paved with love. Hezekiah said, 'twas love that lifted me out of the pit. The king said, the road back was paved with love. Did you know, yonder years ago, in the Garden of Eden, 6,000 years ago, two lovers fell out. Adam and God. Oh, how sweet had been the fellowship. How wonderful had been their communion. Every morning, the Lord had come and talked to Adam. And Adam came to the garden, and Eve was there, and they had fellowship with God. But one day, God came, and Adam was gone. Adam had sinned. And Eve had sinned. Young people over here, you sit still while I preach. Eve had sinned, and Adam had sinned. And there was broken fellowship between God and man. And God made a way. God sent His Son to the cross. Jesus came in the fullness of time. And on the cross, He took your sin and my sin and placed them on Himself. He charged our sins against His record. And God looked down and saw His Son with your sin and my sin upon Himself. And God turned His back on His Son because God cannot stand and will not stand the sight of sin. And God turned His back on His Son. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And then He cried, it's finished. Went to the grave 3 days and three nights and rose from the grave triumphantly over death, Satan, and hell. And now the way back to God is made. There's a way you can get saved. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live without God. You don't have to wonder at night what would happen if you died. You don't have to go through life with that empty feeling. You don't have to have misery and doubts and sorrows and heartaches. You don't have to fret about what would happen if Jesus came. You don't have to tremble every time the preacher says, it may be today. You don't have to tremble and say, I hope it's not. I hope it's not. You don't have to feel every time the pain goes through the chest and you wonder, is it a heart attack? Is this it for me? You don't have to wonder where you'd be. You can know that you're saved and know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. God has made a way back through His Son. But that way is paved with love. Solomon said, I want to make it easy to get her back. I want the road back to be beautiful. I want it paved. Then what shall I pave it with? Shall I pave it with the silver like the vessels from which I drink? Shall I pave it with the gold as the vessels from which I eat? Shall I pave it with precious jewels like that hang around my neck? No, He said, I'll pave it with love. God loves you. God loves you. One night, right back here, I came in this door on Sunday night. A cute little girl with tennis shoes on was standing, straight hair, but a cute little girl. And I met her back at the back door, and I said, I kissed her on the cheek. And she silked up and she said, I love you. And I said, I love you too. The next Sunday night, she was back at the same place. And I kissed her on the cheek and said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. The next Sunday night, she was back at the same spot. And as I walked in the door, I was talking to some people, and the little girl had gathered a crowd of little girls around with her. And she said, that's Brother Hiles. He loves me, and he kisses me. And I came up and I kissed her, and I said, I love you. And as I walked away, she said to the little girls, see? See? God loves you this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. There's a way to heaven this morning if you put your faith in Christ, and that way is paved with love. Let us pray. Every eye is closed, every head is bowed. Hezekiah said, Thou hast loved my soul out of the pit of corruption. Thou hast loved my soul out of the pit of corruption. God loves you this morning. God loves you. God loves you. You say, I know God loves everybody. No, God loves you. You say, yes, Brother Hiles, I know that. God loves the world. That's not what I'm trying to get over to you this morning. God loves you. Yes, He does. He loves you. And He wants to save you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants to take you to heaven when you die. He doesn't want you to live a life without Him, full of void or void and vain. He wants you to be saved. God loves you this morning. God loves you. Hezekiah said, "Thou hast loved my soul out of the pit of corruption." And Solomon said, "The way back is paved with love." I wonder, while our heads are bowed, how many would say, "Pastor, one day somebody told me of the love of God, and I believed it, and I trusted Jesus, and I'm saved this morning. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea." I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I'm saved and I know it. No doubt in my mind. If I died this morning, I would go to heaven, for I'm born again." Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building? Keep them up, please. If your hand isn't up, may I tell you, God loves you. You can lower your hands. Now, would you be just as honest by raising your hand as you were in not raising your hand? You were honest. You didn't raise your hand. Would you be that honest again? With every eye closed, please. I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand then, but I wish I could. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a Christian. I'm tired of doubts and fears. I want to know that I'm saved. Oh, I'm so glad that God loves me." Brother Hiles, would you pray for me? I'd like to be a Christian. I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know it, but I wish I did. First, on the lower floor, you'd say, "Pray for me," when you pray, preacher. Lift your hand, would you please, on the lower floor. God bless you, fella. God loves you this morning. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, "Include me in the prayer." God bless you, fella. I see you, sir. God loves you. Who else on the lower floor? God bless you, little lady. I see your hand. God bless you, fellas. I see your hand. On my right, God bless you. And over here on my left, God bless you. There's another. Who else on the... Yes, God bless you. I see you, fella. Oh, that's wonderful. God loves you. Yes, there are many. Are there others? You say, "Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved." God bless you. I see that hand over here on my right. Are there others that say on the lower floor, "I want to be saved and know it. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand, please, on the lower floor, quietly. Back in the back. God bless you. I see you there. Yes, God bless you, lady. God loves you this morning. The way back is paved with love. Are there others on the lower floor? Heads are bowed. In the balcony on my left, you'd say, "Include me in the prayer. I want to be a Christian." Would you lift your hand, please? The balcony on... God bless you on the front row. God love you. Who else? God bless you way back in the back. And God bless you, lady on the front. I see you. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Who else would say, "Pray for me"? In the center balcony, you'd say, "Pray for me. I want this love. Pray for me." Lift your hand, please. The balcony on my right, the south balcony. God bless you, little one. Are there others? Are there others? Our Father, so many this morning have lifted hands and said, "Pray for me." Oh, today, may they not resist the love of God. The love of God, so rich, so pure, so measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. May they say yes to Christ. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you raised your hand, or if you did not but should have, God loves you. God loves you. Think about that. The perfect, sinless God loves you. Yes, He knows your name. He knows your house number. He knows your phone number. He knows the burdens on your heart, and He loves you. Won't you this morning, right where you are, say this to God, "Dear God, thank you for loving me. And this morning I receive Christ as my Savior. This is the morning I'm receiving Christ, knowing that I'm a sinner and knowing that I'm lost. This morning, now, I receive Jesus as my Savior." Won't you do it? Say it to God now. Now, in a minute, we're going to stand and sing. Ladies up in the balcony, children in the balcony, teenagers, over here on my right, all over the building, those of you that raised your hands, I want you on the first stanza to leave your seat, come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front of the building, and give me your hand, and let me know this morning by that you're giving your heart to Christ. You're receiving Him as your Savior. You're making this morning, the morning of mornings for you. September 5th, 1900. And 71 is going to be the day on your new birth certificate. And so you come and say yes to Christ.